And when you do good, you'll always feel good. And so there's a balance. The beauty of the balance. Terry Trammell wrote a book. Pastor, I'm sure you have it in your library, called The Beauty of the Balance. If we can just be balanced, what a beautiful thing that is. In fact, a book of Proverbs says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. When things get out of balance, God's not pleased and things are not accomplished. But if you love the Lord tonight, say amen. I want us to pray for youth pastor Jonathan. As far as I know, he's in the emergency room tonight. Lots of issues with his intestines. He has IBS. And he has been very sick the last few days. And I know that he called me this afternoon. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just send out that healing virtue, Father, that flowed from Jesus Christ. God, I'm just asking you, Lord, to touch Jonathan tonight and reverse the curse. God, you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. We just proclaim peace over him and Sister Regina. And God, just minister a divine healing in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And everybody said amen. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, we're going to have this on the screen for us to look at as well. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. I was privileged the last 3 days while you're finding that to be in Falcon. So if I'm glowing tonight, it's because I've been on holy ground. Amen. Falcon is where our headquarters is, for some of you that may not be aware. And Falcon is not a bird. It's a town, a little town north of Fayetteville, this side of Fayetteville. The name of the town is Falcon. And they had the retired ministers retreat, where every year any minister that is retired in our conference, they set them up, give them 3 days of food and preaching. Reverend W.A. Mills, who was a former pastor of the Living Waters Church here when it was Living Waters, he pastored here from 85 to 89. He spoke, in fact, he even mentioned some Judy Watson in some of his messages the other night. We all remember Judy and Leslie Watson. You may not remember Leslie, but you certainly remember Judy. And so I've been with all these older ministers. And what a joy it is to be with them and feel the love of God and at their age and all those white caps of those mountain peaks. You know, mountain peaks have white caps, amen, because they're tall, they're great. They've done great things, and they honored Paul Jackson today. And I just think it was a great time, and I got in this afternoon from that. So thank the Lord for what God is doing for our retired ministers. And one day, your pastor and myself and others, and one day Jonathan himself, we're all going to be retired. Amen. And when we say retired, these retired ministers never retire from preaching. You'll never retire from preaching. Now, you may retire from a position or a opportunity or a pastorate or a staff position as far as those demands upon that, but I believe a million years from tonight, I'll be preaching somewhere, telling some angel or somebody else about the old, old story, how Jesus died and rose again. I'll never stop preaching. I told a pastor friend of mine who is going through a lot of sickness, and not only is he going through sickness, he's going through a lot of turmoil in his church. On top of that, he has a couple in his church that are really, really very high, powerful members that are very much opposing him. And so he told me the other day, he said, you know, I'm just not going to be preaching or pastoring. I just don't. I said, excuse me just a minute. I said, you might resign from pastoring, but you cannot ever step down from preaching. As long as you exist, whether you go to heaven or hell, that call is irrevocable no matter what the devil does. Now, you may go to hell a preacher, and there's probably some preachers who lost their way. But, you know, if you're a preacher, you're a preacher. Can I get a witness out there? And so praise God for, but we do celebrate those who've served and those who've given labor. And so it's just been a great few days. And I just felt like you needed to know where I was at the last couple of days. Because I want you to know that if I'm really on fire tonight, you'll know it's not just my fire. It's some of that Holy Ghost fire I brought from Falcon. Amen. Praise God. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. And I believe we sent some love offering to Brother Paul, or maybe we will. I'm not sure. You had mentioned that. So in some respect, we always, every year, sent something to the Retired Ministers Assistance Fund because some of our retired ministers have pastored smaller churches that did not have retirement and just barely live paycheck to paycheck. And so there's a fund that helps them when they get sick and things like that. So God is good. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I want you to stand with me tonight, and we're going to read it from the King James Version, and then I'm also going to read it from the English Standard Version. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I did not have time to get my PowerPoint over to the media guys, so if you may want to jot some of my notes down tonight, if you'd like to do that. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now I want you to look at that again. Go back to verse 22, and I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version, the most accurate English literal word-by-word translation on the market today is the ESV. It is scholarly. It is accurate. And they correctly translate from the original Greek, compared by different Greek manuscripts, and they put it in the language of the day, which is exactly what the gospel should be, in the language of the day. Amen. Because of understanding. And that's a whole other subject. But I'm going to read it in the ESV, but I want you to look at it because, let me show you what I'm talking about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So everybody say love. Everybody say joy. Everybody say peace. Now the word long-suffering is translated patience. So really, long-suffering, patience is the same thing. And I actually like the word long-suffering because it really explains to me what patience is. It's suffering long. The next word, gentleness. Everybody say the word gentleness. It is translated kindness. Kindness, being kind. And then the next word, goodness, is still the same, goodness. Faith, and that word faith, say the word faith. Is really, let's see if I got, really is faithfulness, not faith in the sense of faith to pray, but it's faithfulness. Do you know the fruit of the Spirit, one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit is a faithful. So if you're faithful in your marriage, hello, if you're faithful in your church, oh yeah, that's a fruit of faithfulness. You know, and I'm not going to go through all this tonight, but you're not quickly to give up. You know, you are faithful to your word, to your promises. And then the next word, which is meekness, everybody say meekness. That's translated gentleness. And the next word, temperance, say temperance. That's self-control. Self-control. Being able to tell the body, to tell the mind, lasso into thoughts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And please understand, it's the fruit of what? The Spirit. Now, Father, tonight, we're going deeper with God. God, thank you, Father, for people that are hungry to go deeper. Anoint your servant to preach the word tonight. I've been on holy ground this week. I've talked to holy preachers this week. Let it transfer through me, transmute through me, God. Lord, a conduit, Lord, of that great anointing. And I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts and open our eyes and our ears and cultivate in us the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and God bless you. Amen. You're looking pretty. Amen. You're looking pretty. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Say that with me, love. Now, there's a danger that when we talk about love, there is so much in the Bible about love. Really, love right by itself could be a three-part sermon series. The nature of love, the expressions of love, the interpretation of love, what love is. The Bible says God is love. 1 John 4 and 8, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's just so much. It's like the little boy who stood up in front of the class and said, in show and tell, today I'm going to talk about the world and all that's in it. And he had a globe. And how many of you know that when you're speaking, you have to narrow your subject down so that you can get the truth of that? So that's one reason why I feel like I'll be preaching a million years from now, because a million years from now, we're going to be reading this Bible through just like we're doing now. And we're going to discover a passage that we've never thought of in that light before, because God's word is ever living and ever. And it will take an eternity to mine everything just in his written word. And then in heaven, we'll also complement it with God's actual spoken word. Amen. We see through a glass darkly. I've been reading through Exodus recently, and how God speaks to his people is amazing. But love is so common that if we're not careful, you can be tempted to check out on me tonight. You could be tempted to think about the groceries you got to shop, or the kid that's got to go to school tomorrow, or the food that you've got to prepare. So I really want the Lord to just, in this session tonight, and maybe Pastor might want to add to it next Wednesday night. You know, we got all the time in the world. We got eternity. Amen. So, but I really want you to focus in on love. Now, listen to what some little kids have had to say about it. Now, here's what Greg, he's 8 years old. This is what he said about love. He said, love is the most important thing in the world, but baseball is good too. May was 9 years old, and they asked her about love. She said, no one is sure why love happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular. When asked what falling in love is like, 9-year-old Roger said, it's like an avalanche where you have to run for your life. Leo, age 7, he is not that interested in love. He says, if falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It takes too long. And then Bobby, who is 8 years old, he recognizes the power of love, the inevitability of being ambushed by it, when he declares, love will find you even if you're trying to hide from it. He said, I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me. Oh, love. There's different types of love. Agape love, phileo love, eros love. I don't have time to go through all of those. When we say the word love, that's the difference between the Greek and the Hebrew. And the Bible was not written in English, because English didn't exist in the days of Jesus. It was not even a language on the earth. English morphed out of the Latin languages of 1,000 years later. But when we have one word for love, and I'll tell Darnell, I love you, and I do. And then I'll go to Cracker Barrel tonight, and they'll put out those biscuits. Just like the other night, well, Bill and Kathy aren't here, but we looked at those biscuits, and you know what I said? I said, I love those biscuits. Now, I use the same word. But how many of you know my love for Darnell is not the same love for those biscuits? But do I love biscuits? You better believe I do. Do I love that lady over there with all my heart, mind, soul, body, strength, everything in me? Now, as good as I can, because I love God even more. Amen. But there's three words for love. There's the phileo love. That's the friendship love. Phileo, feeling. I love you, Brother Kyle. I mean, you are my brother in the Lord. I love you. And then there's eros love, which is love for my wife. I love Brother Kyle, but I love my wife in a different way. Amen. Eros is where you get the word erotic from, sexual love, or not so much sexual love, but it also entails love of companionship. In other words, falling in love, sweetheart love, honeymoon love, wedding love, that kind of love. Can I get a witness out there? And that's a good thing. Eros is not a bad thing in that sense. It's not a bad. Pornography is an abuse of the God-given agape, not agape, but God-given eros love that we should have in Christian union and holy matrimony. Can I get an amen? And actually, we should preach a little bit on that, because teenagers think that they are in love when it's all about the eros part in the wrong way. Because here's the other part of love. There's called agape love. Agape love is the love of God. It is the love for God. And that is the highest form of love. It's the love like this. I love you enough that I would die for you. I love you enough that I've got your back. Not going to gossip about you, even if you do wrong. I'm going to be like Noah's two sons. I'm going to cover up your flaws. Agape love is the God of love. Now, I've given you those three types of love, but let me tell you, I could preach a whole lot more on that. Love is an unending ocean. It is no accident that it is the first of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. It is numero uno. It is number one listed. It is really the importance of the importance. Because if you don't have love, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. You can give your body to be burned, but you may be doing that out of some belief. But it's a different thing to do it out of love. Can I get an amen? And so please understand that when I talk to you about love tonight, we're just going to hit the highlights of it. Now, let me start out by giving you a few more introductory remarks on the fruit of the Spirit. And what I want to do is I want to set the table tonight. You know, since we got fruit, you know, don't you love fruit being set out on the table? You go somewhere and you see a nice little fruit set there, the bright colors and everything. So I want to set the table tonight and just kind of tell you, number one, now this is not my main point, but number one, we cannot create fruit on our own. The fruit of the Spirit can only come from the Spirit. Those things that naturally flow out of us are, you want to know what naturally flows out of us, then go back to the previous two verses. Go back to Galatians 5, 19 and 21. Now, this is what happens naturally. And I talked about that a couple weeks ago. You do not have to teach a child to do wrong, because naturally things flow out of us. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, if you can pull that up. And I'm going to read it from the ESV. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Now, let me stay right there. Idolatry, sorcery, that's the ASV. Have you got the ESV? But that's fine. Can you pull up the KJV real quick? If you can, fine. If you can't, fine. Just give me a thumbs up when you got it. But understand that envy, drunkenness, all of these things, I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what comes? Okay, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Now go back to verse 20. Can you go back to verse 20 real quick? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. Now I'm going to read that. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, variance means strife, jealousy, wrath. That word wrath means fits of anger, pounding your fist, yelling at people, blowing a gasket, stomping off, huffing, puffing, strife, discord, stirring up stuff. Now, it throws it right in there with murder. It throws it right in there with sexual immorality. So we've got to see when we get in a huff and we fold our arms and when we blow off and tell people a piece of our mind, we're not in the Spirit. We are in the flesh. Now, don't look at me so sanctified, because I'm going to tell you, we all deal, preachers deal with this. I've seen preachers get mad in business meetings down at Falcon. I have. I've seen people get over into that flesh. That's why we should ever be realizing, I cannot do this and grit my teeth. It's got to be in touch with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to get up in the morning and begin to rein those thoughts. And when people hurt us and when people mistreat us, we've got to say, Lord, help me through the power of your Spirit to when they throw fire, let me throw water and put it out. Amen. When the devil comes this way, let me resist him and he will flee. This is everyday living. This is your witness. You invite people to church, but they're not going to come to church if you on the job are all the time complaining, mad, upset. The fruit of the Spirit, praise God, is love and joy and peace and balance and grace through the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen tonight? So we cannot create this on our own. Galatians 5 and 25 in the ESV says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is a military term. Go to Galatians 5:25. You can do it in the KJV. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. That is a military. Pastor's a military man. Let us. We're taking orders. We're tin hut. We are not unaware and just kind of bobbing around. We are at attention every sunrise. We're saluting the Holy Spirit and God the Father. Yes, Lord, I'm here and I'm going to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness here tonight? How many of you want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit? How many of you want God to move in your life? Say amen. So the more I have of Jesus, the more I have of the fruit. Amen. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, number one, we cannot create it on our own. I mean, I can plant a seed, but I can't create fruit. I can't do it on my own. Amen? It's a miracle. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit is a package deal. Now, and Pastor hit this last week. It didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. And I know we tend to think of apple, orange, banana. But we really probably need to think more about a cluster of grapes. A cluster of grapes. Now, in the Greek, it is very clear, the fruit of the Spirit. This isn't like, I think, and this is what I do. Just like at Falcon, they had fruit laid out. And they also had cookies laid out. And they also had donuts laid out. So, there's a banana, and there's an apple, and there's an orange. They actually had oranges there. And me and Brother Long were looking at the fruit, and he said, I'm not going to get the apple because I can't wash it. I said, I agree with you. I think I'll get the cookie because I know it's been washed. No, I didn't say that. This is not a buffet. I'll take a little bit of patience, but I ain't going to work on that love today. I got the joy of the Lord, but don't you get in my space, you know. Come on now. You can't have joy and leave out love. Hello now. You can't run the aisle and shout and praise God and not be patient with somebody who's growing in Christ, who gets under your skin. Amen, somebody. This is not pick or choose. This is not a buffet. I'll take a little bit of this. Leave off that, a spoonful of self-control, but I'll pass on to patience. It's a full meal deal. It's one-of-a-kind fruit. Think of it more as a cluster of grapes. I'll explain that a little bit later. Every now and then you'll pick up a cluster of grapes, and it's one fruit. It's grapes. Grape. A grape. But have you ever picked up a cluster of grapes, and one grape is nice and big and sweet, but on that same cluster there's one that's a different color? And it's a little sour, and that's why the grapes is not my favorite fruit. I just don't know what I'm going to get, right? But remember, all of the fruit of the Spirit is like a cluster of grapes. Somebody say amen tonight. Listen, number three, the focus is on your character. Somebody say the word character. it is important to there's three things. The gift of the Spirit, which happens at salvation, for nobody's born without the Spirit. Then there are the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, laying on of hands. But then there are the graces of the Spirit, gifts, and graces. Say that with me. Gift, gifts, and graces. Gift of the Holy Spirit, born again. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, powered, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about that Sunday. But the graces of the Holy Spirit is where the rubber meets the road, where we live. And sometimes we have elevated the gifts of the Spirit and not really given attention to fruit of the Spirit. And really, what impresses the world is not the gifts of the Spirit as much as the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Or the graces of the Spirit. And so it is your character. Now, I can tell you this, that God can use people in the gifts that are not fully mature. And so, you know why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are given through grace as well. That's one reason why. Now, hold your horses here. Put your seatbelt on. It might get a little bumpy here. But a lot of times in churches, people can be used greatly in gifts of the Spirit, like tongues, interpretation, prophecy. And at the same time, they can be out of order in another area. Maybe they handle something wrong. Maybe they're a little given to gossip or. Maybe they have an anger issue. And here's the problem. Because when you talk to them as a pastor and say, sister, I love you, or brother, I love you, but we need to address a couple of things, maybe change a couple of things, do a couple of things. And well, bless God, pastor, who are you to talk to me? I speak in tongues. I run the aisle. I'm as spiritual as you are. Well, right there, you have just proved it. You have just proven that you do not have the graces of the Spirit in your life. Because number one, if you've got the gifts of the Spirit, it doesn't automatically mean that you have the fruit of the Spirit. Can I get an amen? And I'm going to get to that. And so I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. Paul said, I'll speak in tongues more than you all. That's the whole purpose of 1 Corinthians 13. Because people were having gifts and prophesying, but they were running down. They weren't showing forgiveness. They were divided. Well, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And we got to have the fruit of the Spirit, brother. And then God can bless us with the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, when you get the gifts and the graces, and it's all of Him anyway, let me just tell you something. Eat humble pie. That's the best way I can explain the gifts of the Spirit. Revel in humble pie. When people don't treat you right, just say, okay, I got another big helping of humble pie. The boss don't recognize you, that's all right. Just take humble pie, be sweet, because sooner or later, there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. And if you want to know if you're going to be promoted, it'll always happen before you're humbled. The Bible says, before honor comes humility. Anytime you are humbled, anytime somebody doesn't treat you right, and you soak it up with love, let me tell you, automatically the word says, get ready, promotion is coming. We don't like to hear that kind of preaching because we kind of want our own way and do our own thing. But the fruit of the Spirit will enhance the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll be a mighty church on the earth, making a difference at Best Buy and making a difference in your neighborhood. I wish somebody would say hallelujah. Don't be so spiritually gifted that you cannot cooperate with the body, even when you don't agree. You know, there's some things written in the Bible, but the Bible is a living, breathing document. Now, I know Al Gore said that about the Constitution, but let me tell you something. The Bible gives us strong, rigid things, but the Bible also allows us for personal opinion on some matters. For example, the color of the carpet. There's not a scripture that says it's got to be red. And bless God, you think it ought to be red because the blood of Jesus is red and because the top of the tabernacle was red. And how dare the church make it brown? You're just getting out of the fruit of the Spirit. You're just getting a personal idea that the rest of the body might not feel the same way. And so I had a man one time, I told him, and please understand, he was a godly man. And I also had people that really liked contemporary Christian music. And I'm not talking about wild, wild rock and roll Christian music. I'm talking about just a little more contemporary orchestration. And I had a brother in my church, and he was like, oh my God. I said, brother, please understand that the people that like the different music, let me tell you something, they would die for Jesus. They love Jesus. They're in that altar. They pay their tithes, and they have a heart before God. And we have to, you've got to understand that as a pastor, I can't go just on how you feel or even how they feel. Am I telling the truth, Pastor? When that's, music's always one of the hot buttons. I'm glad the bell rang because I got to quit. Lord, deliver me this day. Music is a hot button. Amen. And that's why I believe when we get to heaven, it'll just be a new song. Amen. We'll just start all over so we can all agree. Amen. I tell you, I like the on Sirius Network, they've got it all. They got Southern Gospel. I like that. Praise God. Brian Free and Assurance and all of that. And then Channel 63, The Message, Chris Tomlin and some of those guys that, Love Ran Red at the cross. I mean, what's wrong with that? Amen. And then sometimes I'll go over there to Kirk Franklin's Praise, more of the African-American church gospel. And I'll tell you, I'll listen to that station more because those people sing with such victory, and I'm just trying to tell you folks, let's just have the fruit of the Spirit. Let's just love. And if it's not a solid scripture in the Bible, then let's just focus on the harmony and the unity. Let's not be given to fits of anger. Let's go along. Let's be at peace with one another. Let's just let the fruit of the Spirit move in our life. Amen. Amen. And this brings me to my next point. The fruit of the Spirit must be displayed individually as well as collectively. We're not given the fruit of the Spirit to some individuals to be more kind and more faithful. If the church is to be the community God desires it to be, then the nine virtues should work in all of our lives. If Westmoreland, in other words, Westmoreland, and we got members here, and we got some that we're wanting to join the church. But what would this church be if in Westmoreland collectively there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering or patience, kindness, and meekness? Amen. What kind of church would this be if all the members were just like me? Can I get an amen? I mean, if... Let's say collectively, we are a body. Let us collectively, as a body, pastor, pastoral staff, board members, Sunday school teachers, rangers, girls ministries, media, praise team, ushers, greeters, if we collectively show the world love, joy, peace, I want it displayed in my life. But friend, it needs to be displayed together, and it can only be displayed together when we individually ask for the Lord for the fruit of the Spirit. Can I get an amen tonight? And by the way, not all fruit ripens at the same time. Amen? So this is a process. Somebody say process. So you may be A number one on joy, but your patience may be a little weak. You remember that cluster of grapes? You may have a big, big, nice, beautiful grape for love, but your patience may be a little withering grape that's sour. Can I get an amen? Like a raisin, that's right. I heard it through the grapevine. That's not what needs to be done. Amen. Praise God. Not all fruit ripens. And be patient with people. If you've been saved 25 years, you really ought to have a little more fruit than somebody got saved last week. I'm going to tell you, you have to continually cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. My wife will go around sometimes and she'll just water the plants. When you get up in the morning and you open your Bible for about 15 minutes and you take about 10 minutes and say, Lord, I give my day to you. I give my body to you. I think Adrian Rogers said pace. Open up with praise. Lord, I praise you for who you are. Thank you for accepting me, and now I accept your plan. C, I forget what it is, P-A-C-E, and go out and evangelize and tell people, pace yourself. I'll have to get that for you sometime, but that's a good way to start today. I'm pacing myself, because if you get up, hit the floor, go to work, boom, 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 then you're like that little plant that needs some water. Amen. In fact, I want you just to water your neighbor right now. Just give them a little love, joy, peace. Just cultivate them. Tell them you love them. I love you in the Lord. I'm still old-fashioned. I like it when we call each other brother and sister. Brother Shemaine. I know you're younger than I am. How old are you, buddy? How much? 35. Well, I'm 45. You ain't that much younger than me. I love you. I love you in the Lord. You're my brother. Brother Philip. Amen. Brother? Brother Billy? I know. You notice I didn't touch that. My sister in the Lord, Sister Beth. Amen. Brother Jerry, Sister Teresa, Sister Deb. We're brothers and sisters. Now, let me tell you something. You know what that makes us? That makes us family. We are family. I got all my brothers and sisters with me. Come on now. Let me tell you something. My sister aggravated the life out of me when I was growing up. That girl was a handful. She was a pistol. But let me tell you something. You don't mess with my little baby sister. I know I'm sanctified. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm going to send you there first if you mess with her. I'm telling you. Heaven or hell, wherever you're going, you're going. Because I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's going to mess with my sister. She's my sister. And I know she's messed up. And I'm not going to go in all the details. I've messed up, praise God. There was times when she was a long way. Praise God, she'll come about every other Sunday. She'll sit on that pew up there, my little sister Jennifer. If you see her, love on her and tell her you miss her when she's not here. And you do, thank you. But friend, we got to have the fruit of the Spirit, and we got to cultivate it. And we got to say, Lord, I have totally lost my track of time tonight. I'm not even anywhere near where I was going to go. But listen, bearing fruit is number six. I'm going to repeat my points. Number one, we cannot create the fruit on our own, just like you can't create fruit out of it. You can make a birdhouse in Royal Rangers, but you can't make fruit in Royal Rangers. It's got to be something done. So it's got to be the fruit of the Spirit. Say amen. The fruit of the Spirit is a package deal. It's not, you can't have a little bit of joy and forsake patience. It's a package deal. And even though some parts may be weaker than the other, like the grapes, it's a package. Somebody say it's a package deal. Number three, it's all about our character, because it's not just the gifts of the Spirit, it's also the graces of the Spirit. Number four, the fruit must be displayed individually and collectively. We're not given the fruit of the Spirit just so some individuals, in other words, the fruit of the Spirit should be in my life, but it should also be in the life of the church collectively. Westmoreland should have love, joy, peace, and we'll reach our world. Can you say amen? Not all fruit ripens at the same time. You know, a banana takes a little bit more time than, other fruits. And so there's a process, there's a change, there's a challenge. And then finally, bearing fruit is both a gift and a task. Fruit is always a gift, but it still requires work. While the love of Christ is poured into our hearts, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we are to pursue it. So while God gives us love, we're to also pursue love. You see what I'm saying? Just like a tree has got to be pruned and it's got to be trimmed, just like He is the vine and He prunes us. The Bible says, I said it earlier, live in step with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen tonight? I'm hungry for the fruit of the Spirit. I want the fruit of the Spirit at Best Buy. I want them to see something different in my life, and not because I'm a pastor or a reverend. I am not there to display my ministerial credentials. I am there to represent Jesus Christ, the Lord who died for me. And I want the genuine love of God to flow through me, even in tough times. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to close with this. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I speak in tongues, but I don't have love, there is a possible way for you to be spiritually gifted and lack the fruit of the Spirit. And that's not altogether right. Amen. If I had the gift of prophecy and had knowledge and faith to move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, I surrender my body to be burned, but do not love, it profits me nothing. Because a lot of people say, oh, I gave money and I've done this, but there's no fruit of the Spirit in your life. So it all goes back to pride. So verse 4. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Charity, that's the word for love. In fact, charity is really a word you can get grace. You know, grace is suffers long. Grace envieth not. But it is really more correctly translated love. Love is patient. Say that with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not act unbecomely. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked, easily provoked. Does not take the account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. I'm glad they got what was coming to them. Serves them correct. Oh, no. Amen. God said, am I pleased with the death of the wicked? No, of course not. When I was, listen, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it'll be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect come, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, turn around and tell somebody, man up. A woman up. Time to man up. Can't wear your feelings on your shoulders. Oh, woe is me. Can't get my way. I know we're Americans. I know we have a vote. And I know we like our independence. And that is good for certain things. But we are totally dependent upon Jesus Christ. And we need the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, there are 15 descriptions of love. I'm done. Brother, how about come and rescue these people from my message tonight? Just get ready and I'll let you know right when to start, okay? And if I go too long, just go and play anyway. Amen. Jack Hayford, Brother Jerry, you familiar with Jack Hayford? Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. And I was trying to get to that tonight. Love is not proud, love is not rude. Love is not rude. We can't be rude to people. You know, when I go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, sometimes people jump in front of me. I'm the next one up, and this car come whoop and jump right in front of me. And I have watched sometimes when that's happened to other people, and the person coming up will speed up, blink their lights. I'm like, people, it's a cheeseburger. Come on. It's French fries and an apple pie. It ain't worth it. So when I'm pulling up and I see somebody's trying to sneak in front of me, you know what I do? I'll just stop. I say, go on. And let me tell you, the food tastes a lot better when I ain't upset. Amen. And by the way, I'm eating salads now, not Big Macs. Amen. Rude. Or you go to Walmart. Praise God, and you're the next one in line, and then they cut you out. Has that ever happened? Come on. Or at the bank. Just go on, let them do it. Just go on, just keep, just say praise God. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Folks, this is stuff I constantly have to work with. And love keeps no record of wrongs. Do you know what people do? They remember back in 2009, some decision was made, and they've never been happy since then. They've just got a chip on their shoulder because they didn't get their way or what they thought should be done. And so, listen, can I tell you something? In 2009, I was sitting at Falcon, and they made a decision down there. It burnt me up. It was a bad decision, wrong decision. It got under my skin. I had to pray right there in the conference floor. And when it was all said and done, I pulled myself together and said, well, the decision's made. I'm part of the North Carolina Conference. I'm not going to run around here and run my officials down. And I still remember that. But you know what? It's called getting over it. Amen? You know what? You ain't God anyway. And if God could, He could have stopped it. Amen. I know people. Am I just preaching to myself? I'm preaching to myself tonight. Okay. My wife did something like 10 years ago, and I'll never forget it. And actually, I have forgotten it. Amen. Keeps no record. And I'm sure she could say about me. She could tell us, brother, my husband, this. Keep no record of wrong. Forgive people. Well, I mean, release it. Let it go. Love. If you want to see the gifts of the Spirit, if you want to see revival, just let it go. Amen. Well, the preacher hurt my feelings back some time ago. Let me tell you something. There's not a preacher you'll ever get that won't some way and somehow in his humanity hurt your feelings, your precious feelings. Amen. I'll never forget the first day of history. And you know that song, Give Me That Old Time Religion. Just get ready. Hit me key of F in just a minute. I'll let you know. But I'll never forget the first day of history at Southern Nash Senior High. Mr. Martin Lyles, roughest, toughest, meanest teacher you'll ever have in your entire life. He meant business, and he didn't play around. On the first day of class, he looked at us through over his horn-rimmed glasses. He said, I want to tell you the first thing, I'm sorry. Everybody's looking at each other. Well, what has he done? He said, I'm going to say it again because I ain't going to say it no more. I'm sorry because if I do something not right or if you get mad with me, I've already told you I'm sorry. Amen. Just turn around and tell somebody I'm sorry and just get it over with. Give me that old... Hey, bring it up to G. Can you bring it up, G? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Sing it again. That old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough. Now, here you go. Here you go. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody.
Come on!
Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me.
Sing it again.
Makes me love everybody.
Makes me love everybody.
Now listen to me. I said Jack Hayford. I didn't even tell you what he said, but he said these 15 characteristics of love are literally planks over troubled water. You know what planks are? A bridge. Love is patient. That's a plank. Love is kind. That's a plank. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. And if you put all those planks together and those troubled waters of this world and hurt and offense, we can get over to the other side. And listen, I don't particularly like that word religion, but they used to sing this song. But the old-time religion, how many of you know the old-time religion? What we're talking about is salvation through Jesus Christ. We're talking about a real heaven, and we're talking about a hell that we shun. We're talking about the old gospel that Jude talked was once and delivered for the saints. And when we sing that song, give me that old-time religion, I know that's not a very good word, religion, but think of the meaning. We're talking about the old-fashioned gospel. But here's the deal. Give me that old-time religion, but you got to go to the next verse. It makes me love everybody. I want you to join hands right now. Let's sing it together. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Come on, lift your hands up. Time religion, it's good. It makes me love. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Come on down to the front. Enough for me. I said, give me that old time. Oh, God, here at Westmoreland, we're going deeper with God. A mighty revival is coming. Give us the gifts of the Spirit, graces of the Spirit. Oh, that old time. Anybody want that old time religion? That old fashioned Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God. Power of God, holiness, sanctification. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good. I want you to turn around and tell somebody, that includes you. I love you. I love you in the Lord. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my sister in the Lord. Amen. You're my sister in the Lord. You're my brother in the Lord. You might be my young brother, but you're my brother. You're my brother. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Good enough for me. I said, give me.